Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's planning meeting on Monday, the 8th of January. I've received apologies from absence have been received from Councillor Brenda Taylor and Councillor Fred Cagill. I don't seem to have got Councillor Dumper. No. No other apologies? Okay, thank you. Now move to the public speaking section of tonight's meeting, where representations will be taken ahead of a discussion that we have on any application. And we have one application that we have a number of speakers for, which is 17/29444, land at Queen's Drive. Can I ask members, are they happy I take this as the first item on the agenda tonight, please?
Yes.
Thank you. I think all members of the public who wish to speak have already notified the clerk. Representations can take up to 3 minutes, and I would be grateful if you would just, as we have a number of public as well as councillors here this evening, if you could just confirm your name and whether you're objecting or you're in favour of the application. And I will call each in the order I've been given. So the first is Mark Meyer, please.
Thank you, Chair. Mark Meyer, Exmouth resident, and I'm objecting to the application. Having spoken on this application at the last meeting and being aware of the laudable decision of the committee to object to the application in part on the grounds the application was far too vague and lacked detail, you can imagine the palpable excitement of being informed by East Devon Council that additional information had been received in respect to the application. Imagine my disappointment then to discover the document provided not only failed to provide any additional information, but seemed to studiously ignore the concerns voiced by councillors on the last occasion altogether. It makes great play of the tight timescale required, which means that providing detailed plans is incredibly difficult. Before councillors are moved to tears at the plight of the applicant, one has to realise the applicant is actually the District Council, which presumably has at its disposal the advice and knowledge of professional planners and officers, and one would hope would be able to recognise a properly constructed planning application if it came up and slapped them in the face. The other odd thing about the short timescale is that this timeline has been imposed by no one else but the applicant themselves. The timing of the closure of the fun park resulted from the notice period given by the applicant. The decision not to renew the licence to operate was a result of decisions made by the council, and the timing of the subsequent application for temporary attractions to be developed was entirely dictated by the applicant, who failed to bring this forward until the week before Christmas, having had the opportunity to do so since the site was vacated in September of last year. The applicant is now concerned if the application is not passed, the site may remain derelict. Well, I hesitate to say I told you so. But a number of councillors and members of the public actually did. It now seems to be the tactic of East Devon District Council to blame those whom they represent and who try to provide some knowledge and insight for the fact that, as an institution, they seem incapable of acting in a professional, businesslike and democratic manner. At least I now understand the relevance of the extended train line metaphor used by the Exmouth Regeneration Board to describe the development journey we are all on. At first, I couldn't make the link between train travel and seafront development, but now all is clear. Much like our current train system, EDDC is unaccountable, fails to deliver on time, and much like the recent further hike in train fares, seems to have ever-spiralling costs associated with this proposed development. The additional information makes a statement of the blindingly obvious in respect to legitimate concerns raised about noise and alcohol consumption on the proposed site, saying licences would need to be applied for in respect of events planned. However, surely it is the business of the planning committee to give these issues due consideration when, by allowing the proposal to provide a big screen and event spaces, you would be actively facilitating the likelihood of these events occurring on the site. The issue raised about the filling in of ponds seems to be addressed in the additional information by the assertion that you just need to trust me, I'm from EDDC. Perhaps if the applicant could also be asked to pinky swear she would not do such a thing, then we'd all be able to rest easy on this point. I have to say I have in fact found this additional information extremely helpful after all. It has now enabled me to move from my previously neutral stance on this issue towards an unequivocal objection. East Devon District Council, indeed, seems to continue to treat this council and the people of Exmouth with contempt. Well, the application in its current form should be refused and treated with the contempt it deserves. Thank you.
Now call Jane Aston, please.
Good evening. 3 weeks ago, I came and objected to this application. Nothing has changed. It should be refused. Town councillors have not been given sufficient time to consult the public and to fully consider the implications of yet another unorthodox application. Dividing that site into three zones is unnecessary, and it should all be focused around play, not less than one third of it. I am not speaking as a member of a group, I'm speaking as an individual. However, tonight I'm also speaking on behalf of Daphne Currier, who is unwell. I believe Ron's is going to put a slide up for us. At the last meeting, Daphne objected to the filling in of the ponds, even temporarily, and she described an alternative. She hoped to present this visually to Councillor Skinner and other councillors before Development Management Committee, and she began to draw out her ideas on Thursday last week. Despite her design being based on just one of the proposed zones, Daphne has asked me to make it very clear that, like me, she is not in favour of splitting that site into zones. And like me, she is not in favour of numerous fast food outlets, some of which are shown here. But we acknowledge that some kind of food provision is needed to replace the cafes already demolished on Queen's Drive. Daphne's intention is to demonstrate that if East Devon District Council is hell-bent on going ahead with this application, then at least it could be done aesthetically, in sympathy with its environment and with the character of the area, and without filling in the ponds. It also demonstrates that full independent public consultation should have been facilitated before these temporary attractions were proposed, because some members of the community have more imaginative ideas than those who are imposing their ideas on us. Where was the platform for the public to show these ideas? Approval of this application will not guarantee that East Devon District Council will come up with the goods this season, but it will give them carte blanche to provide just anything, anything on that site. And refusal does not have to mean dereliction unless East Devon District Council choose that as a punishment. I'd hoped it might come up a little bit larger on the screen, and that's why I've brought the paper one, so I could maybe, if I've got some time left, just explain what Daphne really wanted to focus on, and that was sustainability. She wanted to make it access for all by including ramps for those people who had less physical ability. She was hoping that it could show multi-generational aspect. You can't actually see it terribly well, but at the top she wanted to put water taps so that we would be able to cut down on the use of plastic bottles. There is underwater lighting at the front where you can see the big dinosaur, because she was hoping it could rehome the dinosaurs. She's putting like a bamboo screen idea there, which would prevent the sand blowing and the wind blowing, which we know is a disaster sometimes on that site. And without being able to see the detail, and without Daphne being able to describe it, maybe you haven't got that to best effect. I believe my time is running out.
It has run out, but I mean, if you've got a copy, you can circulate amongst the public if that's helpful to you.
Okay,
The councillors have actually had a copy, as far as I know. We've all had a copy.
Okay, I think that's actually slide three, isn't it? There is one that shows the whole, her original drawings up in the left-hand corner as well, and some description down at the bottom. Again, sorry you can't read the writing, but no. Maybe if you've got it to look at later. Thank you.
Yeah. Now I'll call Nick Hookway, please.
Good evening. My name is Nick Hookway. I'm a resident and I'm opposing the application. Previous to my speech to the council before Christmas, I'm focusing on a much more smaller aspect of the site. And that is the idea of staging a public event with a screen to watch a series of World Cup matches, of which there would be quite a few. And the reason why I'm objecting to this and raising this issue is I think that the presence of a large number of people on that site would be highly damaging to that site itself. I would like to remind you that there was a reserved matters application last April, which was passed, 170099 MRES. And in that application, which covered the entire site, but also uncovered the Phase 3 site, there was an extensive mitigation strategy which identified areas of concern about environmental damage and gave recommendations to prevent such environmental damage. The report referred to key areas of grassland that supported notable plant species. By notable, that means they are those worthy of attention and preservation. And that the key areas recommended for retention are the south and east banks of the Boating Lake. Sorry, I'll repeat that. That the key areas recommended for retention are the south and east banks of the Boating Lake, selected areas within the pitch and putt golf course, and the northeast corner near the car park. The report went on to recommend an extensive monitoring programme running over some 10 years following the development. It didn't, however, state how much such an extensive monitoring program would cost. There was also a clear recommendation that an ecological clerk of works be appointed to monitor and prevent environmental damage on this site. Now, my questions are this: will this present application prevent damage to this site, as recommended in the mitigation strategy, or merely get the public to do the council's work and destroy it? Will this application have the same environmental mitigation conditions that the reserved matters application had, which was passed in mid-April, and I assume, rightly or wrongly, still has some current impact upon this? How will this council show residents that it is committed to the environmental protection of this popular and unique site? And I would like to, before I finish, just draw your attention to what was on the television last night. The David Attenborough programme, which was very popular apparently, focused entirely upon the Jurassic Coast. It gave Lyme Regis the most wonderful publicity. They'll have stacks of visitors there on the basis of that. Now, we're at the other end of the Jurassic Coast. What are people going to see this summer when they come and see that, what we've got on Queen's Drive? And I would finish off by saying, and asking the question, would it not be true to say that this current application for temporary applications is a calculated and cynical ploy to destroy this site and ruin it in direct contravention to the wishes of residents? Thank you.
I thank all members for their contribution. Now, members, we refer to planning application 17/2944, which was on your addendum. Land at Queen's Drive, east of the Ocean Building. Temporary use of land, buildings and structures for a 12-month period for the purposes of entertainment, recreation and leisure, to also include the permanent infilling of existing boating ponds, plus all associated infrastructure and development. The amended plans that we have before us tonight for consultation is the additional information that has been provided by East Devon District Council in response to the comments that we made when we discussed the application previously. I've now asked Sue Cody, the planning clerk, to just let members know the reasons for our objection at the last meeting, and also just to let you know the representations that have been made to us. Sue?
and members felt that the application should be withdrawn and resubmitted with more detail. The site was located near a residential and conservation area, and members were concerned that no details were provided regarding performance times and noise levels. Members also objected to the permanent infilling of the ponds. This should be infilled on a temporary basis only. It was felt the timing of the application was undemocratic in terms of the late notification and the pre-Christmas consultation period. We did, however, find out that since the meeting, the Town Council had then been informed that the consultation period had been extended to the 11th of January 2018. We also had a further comment from County Highways Authority that saying further to their comments which were made on Wednesday the 3rd of January, they had now been informed that a section of the adjacent car park to this temporary use site would remain open for visiting car parking throughout the temporary use of this application. So in light of that, they no longer believe car parking to be an issue for the attraction and therefore had no objections to the development. And then since the original application, there were 17 objections to the original application and that councillors have been fully made aware of this, town councillors. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Bill Nash. Customer, all lowercase.
Yes, as I said 3 weeks ago, I spoke on this application, not only being obviously being the town, the Littleham Ward Town Council representative, and living in the area as well. It was regrettable at that time that this appeared to be rushed just before Christmas, and there wasn't sufficient time for us to discuss with all people in Exmouth with an interest in Queen's Drive. It is interesting now we've got 17 objections. I've never known so many objections to something before ever. 17 is a lot. However, what happened 3 weeks ago, as the clerk kindly read out what we said, we objected for many reasons. Since then, and helpfully, we've received a document from the applicant saying that concern about too little detail in the application as has been sent in, and just quickly to go through, the lack of detail in the planning application is a result of the tight time scale. Well, I don't think time scales make up whether a planning application is complete, incomplete, full, if it's sketchy and people don't know, it's often called outline. However, it goes on to say, in order to achieve this, we have to secure planning permission first before starting work on the installation of new facilities. Well, that again, I would deem to be an outline application, which then can turn into a full application when one knows what the details are. It goes on to say this letter, we realise that if we are going to achieve the final timetable, we would need to undertake tasks concurrently. So we would need to submit a planning application without necessarily knowing the detail of exactly what the facilities would be and who would be supplying them. Well, if that's the case, then it should be an outline application. Later can be submitted as a full application. Again, it goes on in the same letter to say the planning of what we proposed to do and was therefore without too much detail. Well, there wasn't any detail. It wasn't a question of not too much, it was none. where, if approved at committee, the planning authority could put conditions on the permission and request the details at a later time. I agree with that, but that should be an outline application, not a full application as we've got in front of us and had 3 weeks ago. One of the concerns already referred to this evening and in the printed documentation, it says in the letter, again, as yet, we do not know the detail of what the events will be as we are still in the research and planning stages. We would not expect that any event would be later than midnight. We would not expect, but we don't know because we don't know what they're going to be or what's going to be planned. Therefore, you cannot give approval on something if you don't know what it is, and particularly on that, of the screen and crowds going on to after midnight. Finally, it says, concerns about the timing of submission. We are aiming for the application to be heard at DMC on the 6th of March 2018. March, not February, March. That gives plenty of time for this application to come back into this committee as an outline application, which I think it would be considered properly and probably be acceptable for later a full to follow on. This should be outlined. So, Chairman, I would object again to this application as it's been presented to us this evening and request that because there's a lack of information, it's returned to us as an outline application, which can then go through the process of DMC and other factors at East Devon.
Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
Reading down through this, the same applicant appears on this extra information, which isn't really extra information, it's a load of waffle. Item 3, concerns about filling in the ponds. On this extra information, she's got that the ponds were going to be temporarily filled in. On this full application, she's got include the permanent infilling of the ponds. Now, this was, according to the bottom of this, read the 3rd of January 2018. Now, if one person can't get this right, and she wrote both of these things, then I'm sorry, she's in the wrong job. This was supposed to be giving us extra information. It hasn't. It's a load of waffle. And I do seriously object.
Councillor Muddy Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, let's go to the basic. Before Christmas and before it came to planning, we were brought in here to meet with officers. They told us their outline ideas and we shot them down. Councillor Mark Williamson's son said that the site should not be split into three. The majority of it should be children's play area, and the food and drink should be a small section, as we had a lot of businesses which needed the custom to survive along the seafront. We told them everything that we thought at that. We all agreed on that. The officers went away. I didn't take any notice. They then tried to push it through just before the Christmas, where a lot of the residents didn't have time, or some of them really struggled to get here and give us their views. And we objected on the same things as we objected to before. We then said, right, go away and do it again. We don't want the ponds permanently filled in. We don't mind them temporarily filled in with sand, for health and safety reasons, if you want to put kids roundabout on it or something like that. The children need a bigger playing area, not a bigger food and drink area. We also weren't happy with the idea of having a screen and late night entertainment, because sound travels up and there's all the hotels, there's residential areas, and we need to know what is going on down at the seafront, and if it's entertainment for children during the day or early evening, I'm quite happy with that. However, there is not enough detail, so I too am going to object to this.
Thank you. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I share the problems that many of the objectors and those who have already spoken have said. I asked and pleaded with East Devon District Council officers in meetings before to go along with the grain of Exmouth opinion, not to go against it. Unfortunately, it seems that sometimes they wish to go against it. I will obviously be voting against this particular proposal. It doesn't actually give us any more than the one before Christmas. So how could we do anything other than object to it? I think some ideas that have come up, both from the public and from other councillors, are useful. Councillor Bill Nash's idea that they could put an outline planning application to us, but again, I don't know how practical in planning law that is, because we've already got the reserved matters application been decided on, unfortunately, which I voted against also. And I can see, because I desperately don't want to see dereliction on the seafront. We saw enough of that when the old swimming pool was closed and the whole area was derelict for 20-odd years. And we don't want that again. But neither do we want a situation where some temporary attractions are thrown up and then they become permanent and we haven't given proper consideration to them. So I think we do need to go back again and think, as Jane Ashton has told us and Daphne Currier's proposal, the idea that you were mentioning, Maddie, that we don't divide the area in a temporary basis and we do actually concentrate on the play, that might also be another thing. So going back to that, I think we need more real information. We want a situation where consultation can take place on a reasonable time scale. And I think with a March date for the DMC, then I do think we have time to do just that. So I would beseech East Devon District Council officers to give us the proposals, give us the time to consider properly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Geoff Traill.
Phase two was the water sport, and phase three was the recreational area. So the realignment of the road, that can only go ahead once the application has come through for the water sports. When the water sports application does come through, then what should be happening with the pond on a temporary basis was that the materials that would be taken up for the realignment of the road was to go into the pond to save the, yes it was, to save the environment and to reduce disruption of the environment, traffic and highways. But listening to what happened prior to Christmas, because I was not at that particular meeting, the information that has come out is no different from what the information was prior to the new year. So I will not go along with this application.
Councillor Chapman, is it a brief point?
Yes, just for clarity for public and other councillors, it's my understanding that DMC did tell officers at East Devon that they could not infill the ponds from rubble from the roads, and so they've had to discount that. They aren't allowed to do it.
Thank you. So it's been proposed by Councillor Bill Nash. Have I got an official second? I've got a lot of people have spoken. Yes, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Maddie Chapman that this application is refused on the similar lines to the objection that we had previously, which was on the grounds that the information was too vague for a decision to be made.
and that we felt it should be withdrawn and resubmitted with more detail, or as Councillor Nash has asked, on an outline basis, because I think it's generally felt that we want more information to know what type of actual events and what type of food, etc., was going on that site. But our own view is that it should be more on a recreational and play area rather than for a food outlets, etc. So it's been proposed and seconded on that basis. All those in favour of refusal, please show. Any against? In that case, that's refused. Thank you. And can I say any members that wish to leave after this item may do so? Thank you. Okay, thank you, members. I'll move on to the rest of the agenda. Can I just reiterate, the reason I'm asking you to use your microphones is that that's the way the actual meeting is recorded, so we do need to make sure that our microphones are switched on. Thank you. Minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of December 2017 have been circulated. Is it your wish that I sign them as a true record of the last meeting? Thank you. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Has anybody got any declarations or of interest they wish to register on any of the applications this evening?
Yes,
Councillor Bailey.
I'd just like to come here as a member of the MC.
Thank you. I've no items of urgent business, so move on to the planning applications for consultation. Firstly, Brixington Ward, application 17, Bleak 2971 full, 25 Parkside Drive, extension and alterations. There are no comments from statutory consultee, but we do have one representation, which I'll ask the clerk to summarise for you.
Yes, representation, it's stated that the patio doors positioned by the balcony on the west elevation would directly overlook the master bedroom of the property next door, which would affect the privacy of the occupants. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas. I think it was decking before. An application concerning decking of this particular property. Chapman?
No objection. There are two or three in the road that are exactly the same because they're on the slope anyway. And just because someone's door opens out, I think it's far enough away not to be a problem.
Thank you. So it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Approval. Any against? Thank you. Next applications are in Halston. Application 17, Bleak 2718 full, 36 Phillips Avenue. Construction of two-storey rear extension and single-storey side extension. There are no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. Councillor Dumper.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I can't see a real problem with this, particularly as there have been no objections locally. And I would therefore recommend approval.
I'm happy to second. There, as far as I could tell, there was no properties at the rear that were going to be affected at all. So therefore, I'm happy to support. So, Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Now move on to Litland Ward, application 17, oblique 1941 full, land to the rear of 54 Douglas Avenue, construction of two dwellings, amended plan for consultation, amended position of plot 2, updated tree report and section details. We have the comments we made previously and also representations, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, the Town Council previously objected to the proposal on the grounds that it was overdevelopment of the site. Since the updated tree report, the tree officer from East Devon District Council accepts the updated tree report. Just to say that originally there were 6 objections to this application. There's been 1 further objection. They're worried about the effect of the proposal on the ecosystem of the area, such as the wildlife, and the change in soil composition due to the problem of water runoff. Thank you.
Councillor Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a full application, which we have discussed before in this committee. And as you rightly said, we refused it for various reasons. One was concerning trees, and now with having a new apicultural report going into many pages, if we read through each of the pages tonight, we'd be here till midnight. It is so confusing, but quite frankly, you can't see the wood for the trees on this one. No pun intended. But the overall objection still remains, not only from people living in the area, that this is over-urbanisation of that part of Douglas Avenue. The fact there is a very beautiful garden at the foot of 54 Douglas Avenue with just about enough space to squeeze 2 massive houses in doesn't mean that it should be done. It is going to destroy the area, and indeed, just a few metres up from that area, there was a proposal that went through called Douglas Gardens, and that was thrown out totally on appeal because it was over-urbanisation of a rural area. So, as far as I'm concerned, Madam Chairman, there's nothing different from what we said before. It is still overdevelopment. Also, if we hadn't mentioned it before, then I think we should say that the access on to Douglas Avenue would be very difficult, is uphill, and a very, very bad sight line. So, objection.
Fine. So, proposing refusal on the basis of overdevelopment of the site and also that it would destroy, well, it's really out of keeping with the present area and the access is difficult. Have we a seconder for refusal, please? Thank you. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal on those grounds. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. So that's refused. Next application is 17, oblique 1491 outline, 60 Douglas Avenue. Outline application with all matters reserved for the construction of a detached dwelling. Amended location plan and site plan, moving access 3 metres away from the public footpath and an updated tree report. We have various comments from statutory consultees and representations, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, just to remind members that at the Town Council meeting on the 23rd of October 2017, we objected on the grounds that the proposal would have an urbanising impact and was contrary to the Avenue's design statement and out of keeping. Highways, however, did not object to the development of the site in principle, but was concerned that the vehicle access to the development may impinge upon the public right-of-way, footpath 6. They recommended refusal unless applicant forwarded plans to show that the vehicle access did not impede on the public right-of-way, then they would be able to change their recommendation, which is obviously the part of the amended plans. The trees, any outline approval ought to be subject to a condition that the dwelling would not would need to allow for the growth of the beech tree on the southern boundary and minimise windows to avoid future conflict. Access should avoid the root protection areas of the tree. And Environmental Health requested a construction site code of practice due to the site's closeness to the neighbouring properties. And just to remind members, there were two previous objections to the original application. Thank you.
Councillor Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, not surprising, this is in the same locality as the previous application we were discussing. The difference being the garden at the bottom of this application, 60 Douglas Avenue, they only want to put one house in. We did object it because it is near the pathway, as you can see up there on the screen, and there was concern about root growth of trees going underneath if a road was going to be built. The arboriculture report is saying it wouldn't affect a few cars running over tree roots. But the problem is, as they rightly said in this report, that the head of planning, the proposed development would result in a multiplicity of accesses onto the public highway, which would be likely to increase the risk of danger, contrary to paragraph 52 of the National Planning Forum. We've said this earlier about the other application, so I know this is outlined, but it's just not suitable. Again, over urbanisation, the access in that area, we do not want more houses built. It's already been turned down once. So I'm afraid I can only say objection on the grounds that the proposal would have an un-urbanising impact and was contrary also to the avenue's design statement. So objection.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for refusal on the grounds that the proposal would have the urbanising impact and was contrary to the avenue statement, out of keeping, and obviously we've got the access that you've raised this evening. All those in favour of refusal? Any against? Thank you. Now move on to Town Ward, application 17, oblique 2860 full, Magnolia House, 42 Morton Road, conversion of care home to three dwellings. There are no statutory consultee comments, but we do have one representation, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, an objection on the grounds of potential difficulties created by traffic and parking in the area. Residents of Magnolia House do not have their own vehicles, therefore additional dwellings would create problems. The road is already regularly blocked by people loading and unloading. Thank you.
Councillor Masding. Councillor Nash.
Yes, as town member for district on this, I've looked at this and indeed agree with Councillor Masding. There was an earlier application where there was going to be 12 flats, I believe, which was withdrawn because not only would they have been rabbit hutches, but also if you'd got each person living there with two cars, you've no way, because you've got 24 cars in the area. So to see it come back as three proper houses, not small but decent-sized houses, one of them does have a parking space, ample space for bins and cycles and everything else, but actually as houses, not flats, I would support it.
So it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Next application 17, B2659 Full, 910 High Street, internal alterations, conversion of roof space and construction of rear dormer windows to provide three flats. Highways do not wish to comment and we've had no representations. Councillor Masding.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This building is at the top of the high street on the left as you're going up the hill, opposite the Heavy Tree pub. The ground floor is currently a shop, carpets and curtains, and that's unchanged. The three flats are on to be on the first and second floors. Despite the lack of parking in the area, I think I consider this to be a good use for the upper floors and propose acceptance.
Councillor Nash?
I would second what Councillor Mazin said. Yes, it's a good use of flats right in the centre of town, which is ideal. I don't think the parking problem we can judge because across the road we've already had approval given for another three flats and further down the road another four flats. So I see no reason why we shouldn't approve this one.
Thank you. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you. Next application is 17, oblique 2498 Full, land to the rear of Sam's Funhouse and Andrews Road. Change of use of offices and storerooms and extensions to provide six flats. There are no comments from statutory consultees or representations. Councillor Masding.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I believe we had this application through before for this property, but I think for 10 flats then. So this is an improvement in that respect. The plans show three two-bedroom flats and three one-bedroom. And also that the plans show large storage areas on the ground floor for each flat. Also a common staircase, laundry, parking for only two vehicles, and space for enough waste bins. So the design is rather modern but unobtrusive. The design also shows the retention of trees adjacent to Manor Gardens. I would propose approval, that providing the tree officer is happy with the retention of the trees in that area.
Yes, I would second that proposal, and it's nice to see that the concerns we had of overmassing when it was going to be 10 flats, I don't remember this being refused, but I think it must have been withdrawn and put in again to reduce the number to six, which is an improvement. The main effect is that, as you can see up there, southerly aspect, which is on to Manor Gardens. The building materials are tasteful, so it won't harm the aspect for people in Manor Gardens. In fact, it will improve the visibility. And happy to second it.
So it's proposed and seconded for approval, subject to the tree officer's report. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now move to an application in Withercombe Raleigh Ward. We have no representatives here from Withercombe Raleigh that sit on this actual committee, although Brian's observing. So we should have a look at this particular plan, which is 17, oblique 2996 Full, 5 The Copse, construction of single-storey side and rear extension. There are no comments from statutory consultees and there's no representations. I have looked at it and I don't believe there's a problem, but if anybody has any observations they wish to make on the details that we have. It is only a single-storey side rear extension and it doesn't seem to affect any other properties in the road at the Copse. It's a small cul-de-sac, but it doesn't appear to be, causing a problem at all. So I'm happy to propose approval. Jeff will second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you. Now move on to items for consideration, and we get the old perennial that we've had for the last three meetings, which is the road name of the new development on Salterton Road.
The proposed name of Cranford Field was not considered acceptable by East Devon on the grounds that there were existing roads in the area with the name Cranford and would have a detrimental effect in an emergency situation. East Devon District Council therefore, like the Town Council, suggests an alternative name. Members will recall that the name that the developers had asked us to consider was Cranfield Close. And in fact, we objected to that on the basis that that was too close to Cranford. And the emergency services, I know, have actually, I've spoken to the ambulance service just to get their opinion. And their view was that, you know, in an emergency situation, exactly what we felt, that Cranfield and Cranford would probably get very muddled if somebody was on the phone. So I don't know if members have got any other, which is why we suggested it was a Cranford, so that it went with all the others like Cranford View and Cranford Clubs and Cranford. We thought it would just add to the others that are in the area near the Cranford Club. So I don't know if anybody's got any other names they want to put forward. Otherwise, I suggest that probably the developers are going to win the day. Councillor Dumper.
Yes, thank you, Lynn. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why EDDC are being so doctrinaire about this, because we've already got three Cranfords or whatever. There are cities and towns around with 10 or 12 roads all with in the same area with the same name. So I don't. But what I would suggest, to put right an issue we had some while ago, is perhaps if it needs a different name, then call it Rousall Drive or something. Because we had that problem with the court being Roswell and not... whether there's going to be UFOs landing in Roswell Court, I don't know. But
what they've actually said is that the street name should, where possible, reflect the history or geography of the site or the area. And one of the items on the list, which I'm not sure that I...
It's
Higher Pond Park, which is because apparently that's the field that this particular development is in. Yeah. But I'm not very keen personally. But
no.
There are other ones, but
the other ones they can't. It's Lower Pond Park, Meadow something. I can't read.
How about Middle Pond Park?
Middle Pond Park. Yeah, so I don't know if anybody's got any other suggestions. Councillor Nash.
Yes, Chairman. We've concentrated on Cranford, Cranfield, and I can understand the possible future confusion. Remember, this is on and entering straight out onto Salterton Road, so I think we should use the name Salterton. And it could be called Salterton Fields. Quite a nice name, fetch a good price. They were fields in Salterton and on Salterton Road for years as part of the club. You could say Salterton Fields Close if you wanted to, or Salterton Close. But I quite like the idea of fields, Salterton Fields.
I have to agree with Councillor Dumper that you know, the next door one is Delderfield Close, which was named after Delderfield, the author. So I find it strange that they say you can't call it something in the geographical area, because that certainly is Delderfield was named after him.
Yeah.
Are people happy if we try putting forward Salterton Fields or Salterton Fields Close as another alternative? Yeah? Okay, we'll put that one forward then. Thank you. The item on the addendum, which was premises and club premises licence application, Imperial Recreation Ground, for the 25th of May to Sunday the 3rd of June. I presume this is for the festival, is it? For the Exmouth Festival. The hours were given, which was Monday to Sunday, 11 till 11 p.m. And obviously for activities to do with the Exmouth Festival, performance of live music, recorded music, and supply of alcohol and consumption on the premises only Monday to Sunday. And we, as you know, we've done this a number of years now. We've had the Imperial Recreation Ground. Councillor Masding.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, could I just point out that it says 3rd of June 2017 there?
Yes. Yeah. It'll be 2018. It's on the application, so we best change that before it goes to licensing.
Yeah.
Anyone got any observations or anything they wish to make? Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Have any of the licensing problems which were perceived by the council over the Christmas cracker, have they been sorted out now for the festival?
Have you fully discussed, or whether the Exmouth Town Council has yet fully discussed the charges being made for the Imperial Recreation Ground?
I think we'll probably have to refer that back to the town clerk.
Councillor
Nicholas might know the answer.
All right.
There was a discussion between the town clerk, especially when I and Maddie and that came back from the licensing, and they've had the help of the previous Stephen Saunders to formulate what was going to be the thing, and as far as I'm aware, the money that was quoted for this license was acceptable. Right, there's a minor upgrade, but that would have maybe happened anyway.
But there wasn't additional charges made as originally requested for the cracker.
That has been sorted out, as it was for the Beach Gardens one for the Christmas cracker.
Okay. Councillor?
Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Chapman.
So I understand, but it hasn't been to committee or ratified by councillors.
So we need to get that confirmed anyway, because as I'm aware, there are a number of groups using the Imperial Recreation Ground that are getting differing answers from East Devon District Council at the moment about the conditions, terms and conditions, and the charges for people using the ground, but not just the hirer, but people that are actually coming to do food or having the franchise for the drink. So it might well be that we better just make sure that that's the case. We'll make sure we get it confirmed from East Devon District Council.
Okay. Just one more thing, if I may, Chair. There is due to take place in the near future flood prevention schemes, which would be making use of the Imperial Recreation Ground. They're not going to clash in any shape or form.
I don't know when those works is taking place, Councillor Dumper.
The latest information we have is that's delayed till 2019. So,
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Councillor Nash.
Can I just add to that, as Tim's rightly said, it's going to be 2019 before it starts, but they are not intending to go onto Imperial grounds for storing of materials, contractors, plant, etc., and so on. So that was one of the reasons that they're now using the car park when it does start, so it doesn't prevent activities on the Imperial Recreation Ground.
Thank you for the information, Councillor Nash. Okay. Move to items for information, which is a number of tree preservation orders, which everybody will be aware of and have been given details of where they are. And then we have the planning decisions by East Devon District Council. Nice long list of applications, which we seem to have got 10 out of 10. So well done, team. There being no other business, I'll close the meeting. Thank you.
The plans that have come through tonight are the best and the clearest we've had in months. I can't think why, but thank you very much.
And thank you all.